for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, December the 30th, 2004. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noe of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister.
Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus.
We thank you for your goodness and your kindness and the outpouring of your Spirit, Lord God. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your great love, Lord God, whereby you have loved us and set us free. We thank you, Lord. We just praise you and bless you, Lord. We acknowledge that we can do no good thing without you, Lord God. But with you, through you, all things are possible, Lord God. All things. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We bind the spirit of stupor now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We bind the spirits of stupor and inattentiveness. And we just, Lord, we loose your spirit, Lord God. Wisdom and knowledge, that the eyes of understanding will be opened, Lord. We'll behold you in your glory and what you have for us, Lord, and what's the power of our hope of our calling and the power that you've endued us with, Lord. We just ask now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've had a very powerful day today. Great things have happened. God is glorious. I want to talk a little bit today. I had intended to talk about spiritualism and continue talking about the Antichrist spirit. But I thought before I did that, I would share with you a little bit on ministry to children and how ministry to children is different from ministry to adults. How much authority does an individual have? What determines the authority of the individual over the demonic? Well, let's put it a different way. What determines how much power a spirit has in a given situation? I said yesterday that demons were like dogs. They're very strong ones, and they are a little bit of, they're big pit bulls, and they are little feist dogs. But even a pit bull, now what gives him authority in a given situation? And what makes his authority stronger in some situations than in others? Depends on how much he has been yielded to or worshipped or yielded to or used. Let's look at the Romans chapter 6. In this situation today, I am entirely without notes, and so you'll have to bear with me. Romans 6:16. Do you not know? And when Paul says, do you not know, that means that he thinks you don't know it. That to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that one, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. What he's saying is there that the more this demon is yielded to and the more he's obeyed, and we see this very simply in hypnosis. First time you're hypnotized, you go into a very light trance. Now, some people who are very susceptible can go deeper than others. But then the second time you're hypnotized, you go a little bit deeper. And by the fourth or the fifth time, you can talk to the hypnotist on the telephone and then drop into a deep trance. Because you have yielded and yielded and yielded to that spirit. And each time you yield, he gets more and more authority. That's just the general principle. And so the thing that gives the demon the power is how much they were worshipped or yielded to or used or obeyed. You see, that you worship, you will obey. See, what did Jesus say to the devil? It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you obey. And so if you have a familiar spirit that's running through the family, most children pick up demons from familiar spirits. They are demons that are assigned to the family line. They pass down through the family line. They come in because of the sins of the fathers. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, back four or five generations. In some cases, 10. And if they have yielded a great deal to that spirit, therefore it has lots of power or authority in this situation. You have authority over it. How much authority you have depends on how much the The demon believes how much you believe you have authority, and you have to show the demon that you believe it. Now, like Paul, they said, yeah, Jesus we know by Paul, we've heard about him. They said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but Derek Prince says that a better translation is to say, Jesus we know and Paul we've heard about him. You know, Win Worley, they used to, you know, they say that you'd go over and say, yeah, we heard about Win Worley. And this demon was stubborn, didn't want to come out, and I'm sitting in. I said, go get Brother Worley. The demon said, hold on, you say, why is it that some places you go and there are these wow manifestations? I mean, you look over there and they got somebody on the floor and they got somebody on each leg. And maybe two folks on each leg, and they are kicking, and they got rubber under their elbows so that they won't ruin their elbows, and they're kicking in there. And in other places you go, then they are just, things are much quieter. Now, I personally believe, I'm giving you Bill Knowles' belief now, I believe that the amount of manifestations you see is directly proportional to the philosophy of the man raised up as spiritual authority. Brother Glenn does not believe in allowing massive manifestation. And so here you just put your finger on that thing. See, I bind you in this spirit, in this place by the living God. I bind you in this chair by the spirit of the living God. That person, that demon cannot move that person out of that chair. I've had demons sit in the chair and squirm and sit and look up and say, Satan, you get me out of this chair! Because they can't get out. They're bound. And I always say, oh no. I bind him too. He can't help you. I cut off all your communications with him in the name of Jesus. If you don't do that, Satan will send a couple of angels and pull him out. I've had that happen too. That's the way I learned. God showed it to me. He was right there. That boy, see, was huge, bigger than this kid. He raised up, yeah! Good Lord! And then he took off through. We had folding chairs then. And he took off through, went right straight through about 6 or 8 rows of folding chairs. Dr. Brother Glenn met him at that door back there. And just said, I bind you in Jesus' name. He's against authority. And so, with adults, you can bind them to the floor. Saved individuals, you can bind to the floor. You can bind them. Bind that spirit. Now, if they get up and decide to run, they can. Because you can't bind their will. And sometimes the demons will get them so scared that they'll run. Or they will break through and run. I've had some run occasionally. But that is the unusual case. Now, when you're dealing with children, I'm going to speak about Anthony. Is that okay? Now, this morning, they brought Anthony to me. They had a couple people helping him up the hall. And he was somewhat resistant. This demon in him that was manifesting did not want to come up here and meet me. And they got about right him, and I said, I bind you to the right there. And they turned him loose, and he could still die. And he couldn't run, couldn't move, because I had bound that demon to the floor. And that demon could not manipulate Anthony's will. Therefore, he couldn't run. He couldn't command the spirit out of him. And he got up and talked to him, asked him how it came in. Anthony's a saved Christian. He's old enough to understand. He's accepted Jesus as his Savior. Now, what happens when you accept Jesus as your Savior? Open your Bibles. First, let's look at the character of an unsaved person, which is a character of an unsaved child. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Has everybody got it? And you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. Now, Paul's talking now about saved folks got lust of their flesh. Okay? He said, once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that's the sin in your flesh and the soul, and were by nature. That word nature means, inheritance. Paul uses it over in Galatians when he says, Peter, we are not heathens like the heathens who don't know God, but we are Jews by inheritance. Not like these heathens. We are Jews by inheritance. Because the Jews were natural children of Abraham and heirs of the covenant. The heathen had no right to God. The only way they had a right to God was that God accepted them and adopted them as sons of the seed of Abraham. The sons and daughters of God. And that made them heirs to the promise. But by inheritance. And so by inheritance, you had a child of wrath. Now let's turn over, keep your finger there, and let's go over to Genesis chapter 5. Verse 1, verse 2, Genesis 5, 2. He created them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and named himself. What does that tell you? It tells you that you who have descended from Seth were created in the image of the fallen Adam. Not the image of God. The image of the fallen Adam. Remember, Adam was in the image of God when he fell. And then by nature, you have inherited the rebellious, Adamic nature in your heart and soul. And before you're saved, you have that. And unsaved children have that. Child of wrath. Now, what happens when you're saved? Let's look at Ezekiel. Chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, we'll start with verse 24. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into his own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now this is a prophecy given to the dispersed children of Israel. But it is also given to those that he chose. To the chosen of God before the foundation of the earth. Now you realize that you were all chosen for salvation before the foundation of the earth. Does that sound like predestination to you? Is that's what that sounds like, doesn't it? That you were all chosen for salvation before the foundation. But that's what the Bible says. Now I'll go back to that in a few minutes. Let's move on. I just want you to know that this is a prophecy to you, his elect. His chosen, his elect. And what does he say? He says to you that I will give you a new soul and put in a new spirit. That word heart there means mind, it means will, emotions, and intellect. That's what he said means. And he's going to put a new spirit within you. And he's going to take out this heart of stone. This rebellious, Adamic nature that contains your will, your intellect, and your emotions, and your conscience. Different word. What does the Bible say happens to the body when the Spirit's gone? It says the body without the Spirit is dead. Now, does that mean spiritually dead or physically dead? Well, I'm going to tell you, when the Spirit is departed, that is a corpse. Just like Brother Pittman said, they didn't have Howard Pittman, they had that old tent. They had that old tent, that old tabernacle. They all had it, but Howard Pittman wasn't there. That is just a tabernacle to hold you. When that spirit is gone, that corpse is dead. And so you see what happened is he took that out of you. And when he did, you were baptized into his death. You actually died at salvation. But then he did a miracle. He put a new spirit in you. And a new soul. A new nature. The nature of God. A divine seed, it says in John. And then he put the Holy Spirit in your spirit. That's what happens. Therefore, that old Adamic nature, that old man, what does it say in Romans 6:6? Was crucified with Jesus Christ. It died on the cross with Jesus. How did it do it? Because God puts you in Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. You say, what's all this got to do with ministering children? We're going to get there. But you have to understand this background. What does it say in verse 30? But of Him the Father, of Him you are in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. See, God puts you in Jesus Christ. On the cross 2,000 years ago. How could He do that? He's God. There's nothing, absolutely nothing He can't do. That's what He says. In Jeremiah, He said, there is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for me. There is nothing I can't do. He puts you in Jesus Christ. That's what it says right there. Of Him, of the Father, you were in Jesus Christ. You're in Him. You're still in Him now. And you died with Him. And when you came to salvation, when He said it's a time for love, and He spread His cloak over you, and He took out that Adamic nature and that hard heart, and He put a new spirit and a new heart in there, and then He put His spirit in it, you became a child of God. He adopted you. He put His Spirit in there as a guarantee, as a down payment, as escrow, so that everybody would know you belong to Him. All the demons know you belong to Him because His seal is there. No demon can get in your spirit. But in your body, you still have sin. Okay. Children that are unsaved, people that are saved, are not in bondage. Their will is not in bondage. It's a new will. It's the will of God. Now, if they decide to live for themselves, uncrucified flesh is always legal grounds for demons. It says in James 3, 13 and 14, wherever there is envy and selfish ambition, confusion and every evil thing will be there. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. And so when you have uncrucified flesh, you're putting yourself first. Like Brother Pittman said, he found that the God he served was me, myself, and I. I think that that is the ungodly trilogy, ungodly trinity. That is an Antichrist spirit that dwells in everyone. I have been almost run out of churches for being saying that everybody had an Antichrist spirit in them, because they got me, myself, and I. That you got, and you can't cast it out. You got to crucify it. You got to pick up that cross every day. Your old man, he dead. It says was crucified. That's an accomplished fact. He ain't coming back to life. He dead. But you got sin in your body. And you got the me, myself, and I in your soul, and you've got to deny those two things and put Jesus Christ first. You've got to pick up that cross every day. Now, I can talk about death to self. It takes me about 3 hours to go through it in the Scripture. I won't do that this morning. But you have a... You can decide that you... And you don't have to yield to the old self. Because God, that's when He says you come, you say grace, God, grace. You come to the throne of grace, and He will give you power in your time of need. Now, with Anthony this morning, Anthony's saved. He knows Jesus. He wanted the demon out. Demon came out. I didn't have to hold Anthony. I ministered to Rachel, who was 6 years old. And we had somewhat of a struggle. Not really, but a little bit. Now, that demon was able to manipulate her will And you that stubborn, rebellious, Adamic nature, that demon was able to manipulate it. And when finally God gave me revelation, after an hour, of how to break its hold, we broke that one. It's gone. And when it broke, she just collapsed. Now what do you do when you're dealing with a demon like that? Remember that God's righteous work is never done in man's anger. Now you can't beat that out of them. The rod is not any good in that situation. Now in heathen countries, they burn, they try to run the demon out by beating them and burning them. I mean, you can see some of these kids have been through exorcism in third world countries and they got marks on them where they've been branded and beaten and burned to try to run the demon out. Eventually they take them to the witch doctor and he talks to the demon and he says, little brother. And eventually he works out a deal with the demon and they trade up. Sometimes he'll take the demon into himself. He take this demon in and he give her one he's got. You always trade up in the devil's. Take a spiritualist exorcist. Most dedicated people I know. They will take the demon into themselves. And they'll spend hours literally running forward and falling on their face trying to throw the demon out of themselves. And eventually they'll pray for somebody else to give the demon to them. Remember when you trade at the devil's trading bunk. You always trade up. It's like bargaining with the union, you know. They always bargain up when unions don't ever bargain downward. Don't take me as anti-union. Huh? I used to have a union card, but the policy was we always bargained up. Never went down. And so when you're dealing with small children, you look at the family history. And you pray and you ask God to show you what's going on. And you look at the family history and you take a family history and you find out about idolatry in the past or whether there's been abuse in the past, whether they've had idolatry in the past, whether they've been in the Masons, whether they've been in the Eastern Star, whether they've been Mormons, whether they've been in Jehovah's Witnesses, whether they've been fortune tellers, whether somebody was a fortune teller or a tea leaf reader or, and on and on and on. Chris has got a book back there. We got Chris's books. Chris has got a book back there that you can get from Patty that go through. You can get somebody who wants to pray you on. They want you to pray deliverance. Give them that stuff. Fill it out. It takes a while, and then they're not willing to fill it out, and you're wasting your time. Pray for them. Half of them don't come back when you give them that book. But they're the folks that you're not going to help anyway because they're not willing to make any commitment on their own part. They want you to do all the work. And they're not willing to stand either. They'll just say it didn't help. Or sometimes they're folks who just want to sin in peace, you know. Get all the demons out so they can sin in peace. Come down to Lake Hamilton every year, you know, get the demons cast out so they can have a year of peace, go sin in peace. You think I'm kidding you. And you give them that book to fill out, and it will give you all kind of hints. Now, I used to, when I told you my history yesterday, when we had somebody come, we'd sit down and I'd take a history from them. And I knew what kind of demons I had to cast out by the history. You know, in prayer line, I don't have time to take history, so I move by what's called a word of knowledge. And God, He tells me. Now, counterfeit for that's fortune telling. That's the devil's divination. That's his false gift. And so when you're dealing with children, small children, be prepared for a fight. Be prepared to sit there and be patient and loving and let the love of God pour out of you and just sit there as long as it takes. I have an affirmation of the blood. It was written by Derek Prince. How many of y'all ever seen that? It says, in Him we have redemption. That is Ephesians. There's Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, whereby He's been accepted and beloved. This is a redeemed child. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been redeemed. I am not a rejected child. I have been redeemed. All my sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 says, much more now we shall be justified by His blood and saved from the wrath to come. This child has been redeemed. shall have been justified, has been tried in the ecclesiastical court and declared not guilty by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood. Now, the word justified and righteous are the same word. Justified means a legal term. But you've been tried in court and declared not guilty. You've been tried in the ecclesiastical court in heaven, and God has, the Father has looked at the blood and said, not guilty. Jesus Christ has said, not guilty. So you're saved from the wrath to come. Angels can't plead that. Demons can't plead that. Hebrews 12:13 says Jesus suffered without the gate that he might sanctify the people with his blood. The word saint means holy one. Sanct means holy. Sanctified means made holy. You've been made holy by the blood of Jesus. I've been made holy. I'm a holy child by the blood of Jesus Christ. With children, you say, in 1 Corinthians, it says, what know you not that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife? Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but they are holy to God. This is a holy child, got a believing mother or a believing father. That makes it a holy child of God. Even you ain't got no right in this holy place. We break your legal rights. We cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. And it says, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. 1 Peter 16 says, the price was not corruptible gold or silver, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish. Therefore, honor God with your body and your spirit, which is God. So your body and your spirit don't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus Christ because He bought and paid for it. He bought and paid for it with His blood. You're a purchased possession. You don't have a right to do with your body as you see fit. So that body is a purchased possession of Jesus Christ. A demon has got no right, no heritage, no memorial in that place. And that is the blood of Jesus. And that is and since devil, you got no right, no heritage, no memorial in this place, no right to me, no power over me. By the blood of Jesus, I will bring these down tomorrow so that you can have a copy. I would recommend that you memorize it. Because I can assure you the devil will not hit you when you are holding it in your hand. So you can read it to him. He will hit you when you are driving down the freeway when you can't even get your Bible out and read it. And so what you carry of him is what you get him with. Jesus did not have the scroll when the devil tempted him in the wilderness. He did not have the scroll. He did not have the Torah. The only Torah he had was of him. And what did he fight the devil with? The Rhema Word of God. And what is the sword of the Spirit? What kind of word? The Rhema word. It says Rhema. That is the spoken word, the direct spoken word for that situation, not the written word. You don't take the Bible and hit the devil over the head with it. You take a direct, written, spoken word and you speak it out. And that's what I spoke out to Rachel this morning. And it broke it. It took a little time. But it doesn't do any good to get angry and scream and yell at the child. It ain't the child's fault. Now, you got to say it's Christian acting like that. You say, man, now what in the world? You straighten up here. That ain't the spirit manifesting in this type of thing. I bind that spirit. Now, if you get out of that chair, it's you, not the spirit. Well, unfortunately, we get some folks like to manifest, you know, for attention. Isn't that sad? That someone would want to manifest demons to get attention. We see it occasionally. They got demons, though. They got demons, no doubt about that. Praise your Lord God. So when you're ministering to children, you get a history. Small children hadn't been saved. Older children, you get them saved. Small children, you minister in love, patience, and firmness. And you say, God, give me wisdom. And be prepared. It don't do any good to get angry and mad, manifest. Remember this, that you to your children, you are God. To small children, they see God in you. That's the only Bible they read. That's the only God they know. If you're condemning, they think God's condemning. If you get angry and scream and yell, that's where they think God is. If you manipulate them, for love, you manipulate them to withhold love, if they think God. They never feel that they can get God's love because they feel that they're never quite good enough. They ain't worked quite hard enough. Love your children unconditionally. Be firm and kind with them. And there is a narrow line to walk between discipline, how much you discipline your children. Express love to them. Love them. Take discipline to them and love them. And each child is different. And each child is handled differently. Firm kindness. God is firm and kind with you. He still loves you. He loves you enough to die for you when you were yet a son. Love your children. Husbands, love your wives. As Jesus loved the church. Love your wife and do not be bitter with her. Now, I told you yesterday that rebellion and bitterness have the same root. If you're bitter with your wife, you're rebellious. If you get angry and bitter with your wife, you're rebellious. That comes out of a root of rebellion, and you need to repent of rebellion and love your wife enough to die for them. Husbands, wives, it says, submit to your husbands in all things as unto the Lord. One of the things Brother Chris didn't mention yesterday is what happened when Peter and James were before the Sanhedrin, and they said, "We forbid you." Now, they were the spiritual authority to whom the Jewish nation had been raised up as a spiritual authority to whom the Jewish nation had to submit. And what did Peter say to them? He said, "We forbid you to teach any more in this name." And he said, "Should we obey you or God?" It's not right for us to disobey God to obey you. And so you have appeal. You can say, "Look, this is patently against the Word of God." Tell the boss I'm sick. I won't go fishing today. Tell the boss I'm sick. Call and tell him I'm sick. "What do you mean you're not going to do it?" "I'm hungover this morning. I'm drunk. Oh, my God, I'm hungover. Call and tell him I'm drunk. I can't come. Call and tell him. Don't tell him I'm drunk. You're going to be an enabler. You call him. Yeah, he's sick, real sick this morning. He can't come in. He's vomiting. After all, if I don't, he'll lose his job. And then what's my family going to do?" And those were real fears. I was raised in an alcoholic family. I know about this enabling business. So we weren't supposed to tell anybody. We were supposed to keep Daddy's drinking secret. Nobody knew about it but us. You know, he walked down the street drunk every night, you know. Most of my friends were kind enough never to mention it to me. But they all knew. And I was naive enough to believe they didn't know. I was supposed to keep a secret. I was supposed to enable Dad. And as an enabler. I think the word in the vernacular is the codependent. It means that you need to get deliverance. Both sides. You see the demons on both sides there. You need to get deliverance. But with your children, I want to try to explain to you a little bit about deliverance with children. I remember so well this one young deliverance pastor had a grandchild was born, and this child controlled, by the time it was 2 weeks old, controlled the household. It screamed all the time, and nobody could hold it but the mother. That household schedule moved around that kid, and this pastor, he showed up when the child was about 3 weeks, 4 weeks old. And I mean it, and you know, he couldn't hold it. He couldn't even, he'd try to hold it, the kid would kick back like this and scream and holler until he gave back to him. And he demanded to be held all the time, except when he was sleeping, and so forth. The pastor told me, he said, "Well, they were getting ready to go to this denominational church that they were members of. The mother was a saved Christian, spirit-filled. Father was saved. Said that mother said, "Yeah, I have a lady in the nursery who understands, and she will hold the baby, and we will stay in there for the service. But immediately after we take communion, we have to go get the baby out of the nursery because it'll take about 30 minutes, and that's about as long as she can just hold him because she'll just scream all the time we're gone." And so he said that while they were sitting in the church, God spoke to him in a very quiet voice and said, "You can bind that perverse spirit in you. He and the mother got down and they just began to pray, and they prayed in tongues, and they just said, "I bind that perverse spirit." And after praying about 5 minutes, he got a release in the spirit, and he looked at his watch, and it was 9:30. After the service was over, they got up immediately. It was about 10:15 when they got back to the nursery, and they asked where this young child was, and he was asleep in the bed. I don't know what happened. Said suddenly he just went to sleep, and I just, what time did he go to sleep? Well, I look at the clock. It was 9:30. So they got up, put the child in the car carrier, and carried him out, and went out to eat. So I woke up, sat in two. They finished eating, went home. Mother nursed the child, put it to bed, and he told his daughter-in-law. He said, "I want you to pray for that child every night. Stand over that bed and pray in tongues. Put your hand on it and say, you know," said, "I bind that perverse spirit. I release a gentle and a quiet spirit into my grandson in the name of Jesus." He went back to visit them about 6 months later. And the child was fine, growing well, doing well. And he said, "You still praying for him?" He said, "Yes. What are you praying?" "What you told me to." He said, "How long are you going to do that?" He said, "As long as breath in my body, I don't ever want that thing back in my son." The child is in college now, doing well. He broke some, the pastor had broken a number of curses over the child. After that, he prayed for all of his grandchildren before they were born to break the curses. And he prayed for them. He tried to be present. He has three others, and he tried to be present for them when they were born so he could pray on them immediately. I think it's important that you pray for your children before they're born. I think it's important that you break all the curses over them. I think it's important that you look in the family background and you break all the curses you can think of. And I think that it is important that the parents reflect Jesus Christ. Because remember this, that the spirits that come down through the family line are generally in the mother and father. That are in the children are generally in the mother and father. Now, I won't pray for a child until I pray for the parents. That is my general rule. And it's not always true, but that's generally, particularly one that's having really manifesting. I don't pray for children until I pray for the parents. And it's important that you bind them and you loose them. Now, have I discussed binding and loosening with y'all? Let's look at binding and loosening. Let's look first at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12:28 says, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house?" And that word "house" there is a structure. That word means structure, an edifice. Okay? "And plunder his goods unless he first bind the strong man. Then he will plunder his house," his edifice. Okay. Now he comes on down. Now y'all know what that means. I think everybody here knows what "bind the strong man" means. It says, "I bind you in the name of Jesus." And the word "bind" literally means to tie up with chains. And you read that on down for the next 20 verses. And see, he talks about a lot of things. Then he gets down to verse 43. He says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man and goes through dry places seeking rest, he finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. He goes out and takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. The last day that man is worse than the first, and so it shall be with this wicked generation. Now, a lot of people interpret that verse to say that if you go through deliverance and you fall into sin, the demon will come back and bring seven worse than that one. But I don't find any context for that. There's no context around that to indicate that spirit was cast out by a believer. The context is 20 verses back, 15, 20, and like discusses a whole bunch of things. It's away from spiritual warfare altogether. Now, if you go to Luke, the context is there. But the wording is different. Now, what he says is, my Bill Null's interpretation of that is, this demon got bored. He got bored. And he said, "I want to go out and have a party, And he went over there and he couldn't find his friends. They'd gone someplace. They'd gone off. Didn't find any house to go into, any rest or anything. And so he said, I'm going to go back to my house. But that word house is not a structure. That word means household, family. You know, he says, tell David I'm going to build him a house. That word is used for the house of Israel, the house of Judah, the house of David, talking about a family line. So I'm going to return to the family line that I've been assigned to. That's the verse that tells you that demons are assigned to your family line. Now, Brother Pittman told you last night, but he didn't give you chapter and verse. That's chapter and verse. And what happened? He said, well, I'm going to go back in. There's no indication here that this is a saved person, because he said Jesus called it a wicked generation. And so he said, I'm going to open the door and let these other bad fellows in. We're going to have a party. These other fellows have got no right to be there except the door. He opened the door and let them in. And if you go over to Luke, you will find that it's a little different context, but I don't want to... Well, we will do that, because I've got some of y'all here quizzing about me. So let's look over at Luke 11. Here Jesus was casting out demons, and they said he does it by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And Jesus says to them in verse 20, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now remember, casting out demons brings the kingdom of God to you. And the keys to the kingdom of God is to bind and to loose, which we'll get to in a minute. The kingdom of God, when a strong man fully armed, guards his own palace, that's a structure, his goods are in peace. That's the same thing that we saw back in the first verse, Matthew. But when a stronger than he comes and overtakes him and takes all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil, and then he says, he who is not with me, he is not against me. Let's see, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And he said, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, finding none, says, I will return to my house from which I came. And he finds it, puts it on, goes out and takes seven more wicked spirits than himself. And so there's your context. But you'll notice that he says he takes from him the armor. Y'all see that in Luke there? He says he binds him and takes from him the armor in which he trusted. Now, Brother Jim gave a excellent dissertation about 3 months ago on the armor, on the devil's armor. And I think he gave out about 12 points in it. Excellent. And I would suggest y'all get the tape and listen to it, because it tells you all the legal rights that the devil has, the armor that holds it in place. See? You take that armor away from him. So all these curses, these various curses. Excellent tape. And it will enlighten you a great deal. I don't have time to go into all those today. It took him an hour and a half to give that. I don't have that much time today. You get the tape. The tape's excellent. Okay. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, let's go on over to Matthew chapter 16. And here we find a very interesting verse. But I think it is a key verse in spiritual warfare. And for you to understand it, it's 16:19. And he's speaking to Peter, and he says, I will give to thee, singly a person, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now that's given to a single person, given to Peter as a single person, and given to you. He's given to those people who have descended down from the apostolic authority, the disciples, this. And what does it mean? He says, whatever you bind on this earth, whatever you tie up on chains in this earth, you're binding up the legal right, and whatever you loose on this earth, which means you loose yourself from it. You break that bondage and loose yourself. And what does it mean when it says it's loosed in heaven? That's an interesting word. I've got a lot of interesting words. Yeah. Brother Pittman told you last night that familiar spirit was sitting around you and writing down all your sins. And he's transmitting them up to heaven. There are verses for that. And they're recorded up there in the books. And that's the devil's armor. He's got it all recorded up there so he can have a legal right to harass you. And so when you loose yourself from it, the other definition for the word loose is destroy. And I'll show you where to choose. Let's turn, keep your finger there now in Matthew, and let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy there, the same word is loose. Its second definition is loose. And so what you've done is you have destroyed them records up in heaven. You loosed yourself from them, and the devil ain't got those records no more. You loosed yourself from that sin of your ancestor. And all those other armor that you need to get Jim's tape and hear about. That's the key to the kingdom of heaven in your life. And those that God has placed under your authority. For your family. For your employees. If you're a pastor for your church. Those are people under your authority. Those are people you're going to answer to God for. Okay, now let's turn over to Matthew 18. And we'll start up in verse 15 to get the context. Moreover, your brother sins against you. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you two or three more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree, symphonize, agree in the Spirit, on earth concerning anything, and what doesn't that cover? What doesn't anything cover? Anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And then Peter changes the subject. You see, this authority to bind and loose is given to the church. And what does it cover? Anything! I went to a spiritual conference, warfare conference, had 5,000 people there. Had some big names. And they had a little seminar, supposed to have an open microphone so people could ask questions, and they were going to have an open seminar, and each one of the speakers going to speak about 15 minutes, and they were going to have this open microphone. You could go up and ask questions, and they would answer them, and it sounded very good. So I went, and it was a room held 1,000 people, and it was packed out, and I got there late, and I was on the back row. And I was listening, you know, and then I heard something in a loud, I heard somebody's hand come down on the table with a loud sound. He said, "You tell me where in the Bible you've got the authority to bind a principality spoken of in Daniel 10. I mean, you know, man, wrong spirit. And then on the other side of the table I came down and somebody else said, "We've got the authority to bind in the heavenlies," and this cat fight broke out. No scriptures. I mean, it went on. And the poor moderator was a friend of mine, and he was trying to, and some kids who were there, that young people were there, came up to me, "Dr. Nully, is there a scripture?" "Said, of course it's a scripture." She said, "Why don't you go up and tell him?" I said, "Not me, honey. He's got enough problems. He don't need folks coming up out of the audience trying to give scripture to him." But that's the scripture. I said, "See this? Anything. That covers, when it says anything, you sure tell me what anything don't cover." But you see, that is a scripture that's used a great deal by the prosperity gospel. Now, I have actually seen, "Well, stop. You agree with me.
$1,000 in this wallet. You agree with me? Oh, yes, I agree with you. $1,000 is $1,000. I agree with you. Yeah, and these praying tongues. $1,000 in that wallet. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a check here. Agree this is a $10,000 check. Two or three of them get together, put their hands on it, and agree on it. That is so much garbage. It is not a mental agreement. Now, these people are perfectly sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. At least I hope they were sincere. The word is symphonized. Now, that is a Greek word from which we get symphony, which means a spiritual harmony. Now, I tell you, when a man and his wife come together in spiritual harmony and agreement, I mean, they can move heaven and earth. But it has to be, it has to be led together by the Spirit. When two or three, how does it say it here? When two or three agree concerning anything, when two or three are gathered together in my name, and Derek Prince says that word could be easily translated or led together. And to be say led indicates you've got a leader, mainly the Holy Spirit. You know, in the morning prayer meeting, I say this is not a spectator sport. We need to be in spiritual agreement. I mean, when the people are in spiritual agreement and praying, not sitting around and talking about the card game last week or their guard game or wondering what they're going to have for breakfast or whatever else you want to gossip about. I mean, if you're doing that, I appreciate you going out in the kitchen someplace. What you need is to come together in agreement and agree for your brothers and sisters. And when that happens, that's the reason you see spiritual power manifested. An intercessory prayer group is when people come together in the Spirit and spiritual power is manifested of harmony in the Spirit. And that's given to the church. And when you come together like that, come together for your family, come together for the church. Now, I think that a family, a man and his wife, can come together for the extended family. For yea, you, and it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, yea, ye and your whole household. I think that means your brothers and sisters and their spouses and their children and their grandchildren and your children and their spouses and their and your grandchildren and your aunts and uncles and their children and their grandchildren. I mean, you just, when you come together in the Spirit like that, before it is the will of God that everyone should come to repentance. God will pour it out. They have to accept it. He knows beforehand who's going to accept it and who isn't. And I said I would talk to you about that, what I said, that you were the elect of God. Let's look at Ephesians now. And I'll show you how I understand this. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He's made us accepted in the Beloved. Okay, now there it says, before the foundation of the earth. Well, where does free will come in? Let's turn over here to 1 Peter. Anybody got 1 Peter chapter 1? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispensation in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, that's chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ. And there you have it. God, by His foreknowledge, knew who would accept Him. Who would accept the Spirit of repentance? He knew. He knew beforehand how you're going to respond. He knows all things. He would that everyone would accept Him. He says, I do not take the pleasure in the death of a sinner, but that he should turn from his sin and live. That's a half a dozen places in the Bible. But there's some people who are so hard and so stubborn and so self-centered that they refuse the grace of God. Now, you just sit and you weep over it. But that's the way I understand it. Now, there are some people, boy, there are a lot of other verses in there. But that's my simple understanding of it, because that's what the Scripture says. And you can't get away from the foreknowledge.
And He loves every one of you. And He loves all these kids. And He wants all of you to let your children see Jesus Christ. And He wants you to deal with your children with love and patience, kindness, and love. Not in anger, like the heathens who don't know God. The devil can get you angry with your children when you're trying to discipline them. If you get angry, you stop right then and repent. You say, I ain't going that way. Give me grace, Lord God. Give me grace. Take time out. Take time out. You sit there. Time out. Oh, Lord, help me. And you tell the child you're sorry you got angry. Apologize to your children for getting angry. Nevertheless, you're going to mind. I love you and you're going to mind. I love you. I love you. Even when you're bad and you're ugly and when you're disobedient, I still love you. I think the hardest thing I used to do with Mother when she was switches, before she switches, she would spend 15 minutes telling us how much she loved us and how much it hurt her more than it did me. I don't think she ever convinced me of that. That I knew she loved me, but I don't ever think that she got hurt more than I did. I can see it now, but I couldn't see it then. Praise you and bless you and glorify you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Well, I didn't get to spiritualism. If everyone will stand up now, I think we will pray a little bit. And we'll ask for the Spirit's Lord Jesus. I thank you and I praise and bless you for the wonderful things you've done today. Out of your goodness and your kindness, Lord, you have blessed us beyond our wildest expectations. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for your manifold goodness and grace, Lord. For we don't deserve your grace, Lord God. We don't deserve it, Lord God. But grace is favor given to the undeserving and the ill-deserving. And Lord, we thank you that you have not given us justice, Lord, but you've given us mercy and grace. And we thank you, Lord God. We just thank you. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe, say, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. He was raised from the dead for my justification. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I have been adopted into the family of God. Ah, God, I thank you. I'm an ambassador of the Most High God. My citizenship is in heaven. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I stand as your ambassador. And I cry out to you. Send your armed forces, Lord. Drive off the enemy from my family, myself, in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch of my country, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Now, Lord, I just bind all the spirits of infirmity. For surely, Lord, you've borne all their sorrow and all their grief. That's all their sickness and their pain. And by your stripes, they have been healed. I speak healing now to their physical bodies, Lord God. I speak healing, Lord. I speak healing to their physical bodies, Lord. I bind up any arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind up arthritis and bitterness in the name of Jesus. I bind those spirits and I command them to go. I bind up the spirits of fibromyalgia in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind up the spirits of muscle weakness in the name of Jesus. I break their power. I bind all the spirits of migraine headaches, tension headaches, muscle headaches, eye headaches in the name of Jesus. All headaches, all pain in the head, all witchcraft headaches, I bind you and I break your power. And I command you to leave God's people now. All photophobia, all burning of the eyes, tearing of the eyes, blinking of the eyes, all nearsighted, farsighted, astigmatism, I bind all of you in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of optic atrophy in the name of Jesus, of macular degeneration, of glaucoma. I break the power of these things and I command them to leave now in the name of Jesus. I speak restoration. I speak restoration to God's people in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of tinnitus in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of deafness and tinnitus in the name of Jesus Christ, of vertigo and dizziness, and I command them to leave now in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. You can't torment to God's people anymore. I bind all of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I break the power in Jesus' name. I come against the spirits of sinusitis now, congestion and sinusitis and dry throats in the name of Jesus and dry tongue and dry mouths in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out of the God's people. All the allergies now. All food allergies come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All food allergies. All pollen allergies. All dust allergies. All allergy, come out in the name of Jesus. Allergies to medicine, allergies to food, allergies to the dust in the air, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Allergies to perfume, come out. All allergies, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I say, go, go, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. We break the power of sinus trouble. We break the power of gingivitis now. In the name of Jesus. I bind pyorrhea, gingivitis, carious teeth in the name of Jesus. All carious teeth, rotten teeth, holy teeth in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. I come against the power of root canal and abscesses in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing to God's people. Healing to their teeth now in the name of Jesus Christ. Pyorrhea, I speak to you. Be gone. Bone reabsorption, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to bones now. I speak to osteoporosis in the name of Jesus Christ. I say be gone out of God's people in Jesus' name. I speak strong bones in the name of Jesus Christ. You said that none of their bones would be broken, Lord God. You said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He looks over His children, and none of their bones shall be broken, Lord. That's what you say in your word, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I come against osteoporosis and any kind of fractured bone, broken bone, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I come against all asthma now. Come out of asthma, bronchospasm, asthma, emphysema, pneumonia in the name of Jesus Christ. Emphysema, empyema, come out. All cancer of the lung, come out. All heart trouble, come out. All fear, fear. Men's hearts fail because of fear. I come against heart failure and fear in the name of Jesus Christ. High blood pressure, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear, high blood pressure, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I come against esophagitis in the name of Jesus. Gastric esophagitis in the name of Jesus. Reflux esophagitis in the name of Jesus Christ. Duodenal ulcers, hyperacidity, colitis, irritable bowel, irritable colon, spastic colon, Crohn's disease, enteritis. Come out. Mucoid colitis in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 endometriosis. Go, 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 endometriosis. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. Vaginitis, vaginitis, venesias in the name of Jesus Christ. Chlamydia, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind all infectious diseases. Human papillomavirus, trichomonas. In the name of Jesus, all these 51 different types of infections, I bind you in Jesus' name. Come out, all you sexually transmitted diseases in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of cancer, cervical cancer, uterine cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer, brain cancer, skin cancer. I come against cancer, rebellious cells. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I speak healing now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. I come against diabetes. I bind diabetes in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, I speak to you. I bind you. I come against the spirits of peripheral neuropathy. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go peripheral nephropathy. Go claudication in the name of Jesus. Go circulatory disease in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against diabetic retinopathy. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind you and command you to leave. Get out of there. Get out of there in the name of Jesus. I break all the curses that come down through the family line for all these diseases.
I break all the family curses in the name of Jesus back 20 generations. And I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you. In the name of Jesus now, Lord, Lord, I bind pain from their physical bodies. I speak healing and restitution now in the name of Jesus, that you will touch their bodies, Lord, and heal them in the name of Jesus. I come against hoarseness now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against hoarseness in the name of Jesus. I come against laryngitis in Jesus' name, laryngeal polyp in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I curse you to your roots and command you to leave in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution now. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hold up your hands. Lord, let your grace come down. Let your love and your grace. Lord, let that love flow down. Let your love flow down and fill up every crack and every in the name of Jesus. Just let your love come down, Lord. I bind the spirit of death, Lord God. Drive out the spirit of death. Drive out death in the name of Jesus, Lord. Drive out death in the name of Jesus. Speak healing now. I speak healing in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and bless you and glorify you. I come against all back pain now in the name of Jesus. I break the power of back pain and muscle spasm in the name of Jesus. All fear, fear of not being good enough, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted. The love of God does drive you out. Lord, you said your love drives out fear, for fear has torment. Lord, let your love come down there and drive out all the fear. Just touch them. Touch it, Lord. Lord, I release it to come forth now. Just touch me. Touch the people, Lord. Touch all my brothers and sisters, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let that love flow through them, Lord, in Jesus. I break all the curses spoken over them from any source. I speak healing and restitution now, in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, send your ministering spirits now, Lord. Let your ministering spirits go among them now, Lord. Lord, as you sent the angel, Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, release it to come forth now, Lord, to minister to your people. They're ministering spirits now. They're moving among you. They're moving among you. Just hold up your hands and praise God. Thank Him for His love. For He loves you. He loves you. Greater love have no man than he lay down his life for his friend. He said, I call you friend. You're his friend. You're his children. You're his brother and sister. And you're his bride to the coming king. Oh, God. Pour out now, Lord God. That love, Lord. It drives out all fear, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I speak strength now, Lord God. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen.